Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And thanks to those who download these as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your correspondence, feedback, and comments by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website, utahchristians.org. We'd like to thank those that have taken the class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about making room for abundance. Before we see an increase on the outside, we need to see an increase or a mood of increasing on the inside. If you have a small vision, guess what? You're going to have a small life. If you think you've reached your limits, you have. And this kind of small thinking is going to keep you from the best that Krishna or God has in mind for you. You're not going to see increase if you're stuck in the old ways of thinking. If you think that you'll never get out of debt, you won't. If you think that your obstacles are too big, they are. If you're setting limits on your life with your thinking, you're not going to give Krishna the permission that he needs to take you to the next level. You've got to learn how to stretch your faith. Krishna or God has unlimited bountiful, unlimited prosperity, unlimited supplies to release. The only thing that limits him is our ability to receive them. If he has 1,000 gallons of water to give us, but all we've got to receive it is one little tiny cup, the problem is not with him, the problem with us. It's not with the supply, it's with our ability to receive it. If you'd get rid of the small container and get larger containers, then Krishna could give you much, much more. If we think the economy is too down, I can never afford that house. My business will never expand. I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections. Krishna consciousness is too hard. Nobody's interested. You need to get rid of that 1 gallon container. The Krishna that we serve, he has an ocean. He has an unlimited supply. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna is not a poor man. In the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 11th verse, he says, Yeyatam mam prabhadyate tam sthitaima bhajami aham mama vart manavantate manushya parta sarvasha. He says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So how much we receive from God is not dependent upon how much he has. There are no limits to that. But it's dependent upon the level of our surrender to him. As we surrender to him, as we expand our thinking and take the limits off of him, we also expand his ability to show up and show out in our life in amazing ways. I remember a few years ago, the City Weekly was doing an article, and they interviewed me. And in the course of the interview, the reporter, he asked, do you have a part-time job to help support yourself while you serve the temple? I said, say what? He says, do you have a part-time job to help support you while you serve the temple? I said, maybe you're missing something here, but we serve the Lord who brings into being millions and millions of universes with his breathing. He knows past, present, and future. He's in the heart of all living beings. He is the personification of wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, renunciation. Why would I need another job? I mean, take Bill Gates and multiply him 50 gazillion times, and that's who I serve. But why am I going to have to step out and get another job to help support myself or support the temple? And in the 40 years I've been a Christian devotee doing missionary work, I've never lacked for anything. We haven't lived in obscene opulence, but we've lived in abundance. We've lived comfortably. We've lived contentedly. He's given us not excess, but whatever we need to pursue his purposes in the world. So our ability to receive is just basically according to what kind of a thinking mode that we have. I heard about a lady, every day for years and years, she would go out from her village and gather up firewood that the men had cut. She would bundle it together and with great difficulty put it on her back and stagger back to the village with this load on her back. And one day she tripped and the load fell down. She felt herself too tired and too feeble to get it back on her shoulders. So she said, Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please help me. And Krishna appeared before her and he said, what would you like? I can give you anything you want, anything you can think of. And that's the key. I will give you. So unfortunately, this lady, she was so much in a rut, so much in a groove, so much in a small mindset that the greatest thing she could think of to ask God, could have given her anything, was, could you please help me get the load of wood back on my shoulders? So what limited her was not God's ability to give, but it was her own small-minded thinking that limited her. Krishna doesn't want just good for us, he wants great for us. I'll give you an example. Being a vegetarian is good. When you eat from the category of grains and fruits and vegetables and dairy products, you're committing almost no violence compared to those who eat the flesh of animals who are highly evolved sentient beings who scream and bleed out in pain and despair. To become a vegetarian is good because your karmic liability is reduced by factors of thousands and thousands of times by making that change. But to become a prasadarian is even better. A prasadarian is someone who takes their vegetarian food and offers it to God first, recognizing that God created everything. He put the sun, the moon in the sky. He caused the rain, the DNA, the RNA. He created the seeds. I'm giving you the first right of enjoyment. It belongs to you, and I'm acknowledging that by bowing down, saying a few prayers, and allowing you to taste, not exactly the stuff of the food, because God doesn't need that. He's spiritual. But enjoying the intelligence and the devotion and the prayers that I offer along with that foodstuffs. Then it becomes prasadam. And those who take vegetarian food that's first been offered to the Lord become inoculated against material inebrieties. One gets started on one's road back home, back to Godhead. So certainly vegetarian is good. It's good for the environment. It's good for your health. It's certainly good for the animals. But prasadam, eating vegetarian food, that you've just gone one step beyond vegetarian and you've consecrated that food in sacrifice by offering to the Lord, that's great. And that's what Krishna wants for you. That's why he says in the 9th chapter, Patram Pushram Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Pirajati. Offer me in love and devotion flower, fruit, leaf, or water, and I will accept it. And it says that those who support and sustain themselves by eating the remnants of sacrifice, mukta sangha samachara. First of all, they taste that as nectar. There's an extra ingredient because Krishna has touched it. Krishna has enjoyed it. So it's sublimely tasteful. But the second point is mukta sangha samachara. Those ropes, those things that condition us, those things that bind us, that strap us to the wheel of samsara, birth, death, disease, and old age, those are cut when you take prasadam. One gets out of prison. Certainly because God is our well-wisher. He doesn't want to just better our circumstances in this temporary material world. In this material world, just roughly in terms of generalizations, there are three categories. There's the A class, the B class, and the C class in this material world. There are those who are enjoying the fruits of good karmic reactions, who enjoy good birth, wealth, aristocracy, etc., etc. And there are actually higher planets that correspond to such living beings where they enjoy a higher standard of life. Then there's the middle level, kind of where we are now, the middle planetary systems, Madhye Tishtanti Rajasaha. And then there's hellish life, where those are suffering from the results of negative karmic activities. So the good is called Sattva, the middle is called Raja, and the lower is called Tamas. So God doesn't just want good for us. Most of us are thinking, if I can just improve my condition within the prison, if I can go from a class C situation to a class B cell, and then to go to a class A cell, maybe with curtains and better food and privileges, that's all that we think of. That's the size of our container. That's our small thinking. But Krishna wants to jog us out of that rut, to help us to envision getting out of the prison house, getting out of this material world altogether. Who is a well-wisher, who has a relative or friend in prison, who is their well-wisher, doesn't just hope for them to get a better, more comfortable situation in the prison. Who is a true well-wisher hopes for them to get out of the prison where they can enjoy all the privileges of a free person. Getting out of the prison of this material world, getting free of the ropes, the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, one enjoys the unlimited freedoms of a spiritually liberated soul. And when we pray for each other in India, the highest prayer, Om Asadova Man Sadgamaya, Om Tamasho Madhyotigam, Om Anitamaramitagmaya, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. My prayer for you is, and this is God's prayer for us, Om Asadova, that you get out of this temporary world to the everlasting world. Om Tamasho Man Jyotigamaya, that you escape this world of darkness where the light is artificially provided by the sun and the moon, and you ascend to the self-effulgent eternal spiritual world. Omritam man omritam gamaya, and that you be released from the bonds of birth, death, disease, and old age in order to enjoy an abundant life of eternality, bliss, and knowledge. Prasadam gets one on that road, and that's why God doesn't want us to stop with the good. He doesn't want us just to be vegetarians, but He wants us to take a moment before we eat our vegetarian food to offer it to Him and make it prasadam. My question is, what kind of a vision do you have for your life? Some people have a container that's what we might call a barely get by container. Some people have a container that you might call hoping to just make it through container. They have a little tiny container and Krishna fills that. Others have a few more containers. They have 5 or 6 containers. They're hoping to pay their bills, feed their families, and have a little bit left over, and that's good. Krishna will fill your containers. But some of us, like Julia, they've been coming here every week. They've been listening to us. They're dangerous. They've got radical faith. They've begun to take the limits off God. They're calling up Home Depot. I need 1,000 containers. How soon can you get them here? I need a couple thousand containers. Quick. You know that Krishna can be above and beyond. He's not just a barely get by God. He's a far surpassing above and beyond God. Look what He's already doing. Shrindisvataro Upanishads, Eko Yo Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kama. That one supreme being, is supplying all the necessities of life to all other living beings. He's supplying not only our necessities, air and food and shelter, but He's supplying to the ants, He's supplying to the elephant, He's supplying to the birds, to the mammals, He's supplying on this planet, He's supplying on every planet, He's supplying on each and every universe. That one eternal living being is already providing all the basic needs to all the other living beings. So He's doing that, and we don't have to pray for them. Our Father in Heaven, give us our daily bread. When the bee's getting his daily bread, when the ant's getting his daily bread, when the elephant's giving his daily bread, we don't have to pray to God for daily bread. We're human beings. We're made in the image of God. We're at the top of the evolutionary ladder. We need to have expanded consciousness. We need to have big containers. And what God is offering to us, which is not available to the lower species, is a partnership in doing His work in this world. Imagine a big New York law firm, the most successful, calls you up and they says, we would like to offer you a partnership. Now, to get a partnership with a law firm, usually you go to law school, you have to have your BA, you go to law school, you take the bar, you work as a grunt in a law office 80 hours a week, and maybe after some years, you get awarded a junior partnership. God is offering each and every one of us a partnership in His multi-universal enterprise. Forget about multinational corporations. This is a multi-universal corporation. And it's not meant to earmark certain resources so that some can have more and others are left with less. God sees all living beings equal. And so His institution, His movement is meant to benefit each and every living being, to enrich each and every living being, to ultimately release them from the prison house of this material world. So He's offering you a partnership in this most prestigious, expansive, divine mission. And you may say, well, you know, I don't have any education, I don't have any experience, I don't have any qualification. It's all right, we're looking for fresh people, unbiased people. We'll train you, we'll equip you, we'll get you everything you need. Only one thing we ask, you give up destructive habits. Because we're not going to put in training and equipping and empowering you on the one hand, while you're just as busy destroying yourself and destroying others on the other hand. You need to stop killing and shedding blood of other living beings, because God claims all of them as His parts and parcels. And you cannot serve or represent God while you're terrifying some of His children. And you also need to take care of your own body, which is God-given. It's a temple. In a nutshell, we're asked to give up illicit sex. That means if we're married, we're faithful. If we're single, we're celibate. We're asked to give up gambling, we're asked to give up intoxication, including coffee, tea, and cigarettes, and we're asked to give up eating meat. And in return, God's not trying to get us away from something, but He's trying to get us to something magnificent. He's trying to give us an amazing, far above and beyond future. And all that he's asking is that we just stop destroying other living beings and stop our own self-destructive habits. If we clean up our acts, we'll position ourselves under the open windows of heaven. Get your containers, because prosperity, favors, and blessing are going to shower down from above. It may not have happened in the past, but Krishna has favor in your future. New opportunities, good breaks, blessings that will chase you down. You may not see how this can happen, but he has 1,000 ways to increase you that you've never even thought about. He has explosive blessings, blessings that can thrust you years ahead, beyond your normal income, your salary, your retirement. He can give you one good break, one good idea, one connection, and all those containers are filled to overflowing. Now make sure you don't shortchange yourself. Krishna is saying, don't just go out and borrow or buy a few containers. Don't have a limited vision. You may not see how it can happen, but that's not our job. Our job is just to have faith. Well, sure, I don't think I should envision myself as prosperous. That's kind of selfish. No, as long as you use what comes your way to honor God, as long as you use what he sends you to glorify him, he takes pleasure in investing in you. It is said, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. People say, well, if you're so spiritual, why do you wear a watch? If you're so spiritual, why do you have a computer? If you're so spiritual, why do you drive a car? Bhakti Siddhanta, the guru of Prabhupada, back in the 1800s or early 1900s, I guess it was, he was the first sannyasi in India to ever ride in a car. Before that, they thought, no, that's fine. We're renunciates. We can't ride in a car. But Bhakti Siddhanta thought, he said, if I walk, I can give one lecture a day on Krishna. If I ride in a car, I get 5 or 6 lectures a day. So he started riding in a car. Personally, with the technology that we have today, if one uses that technology to honor God, one can do 100 times more than one could in the past. With a Dodge van and a Macintosh computer, I can do 100 times more than I could by walking and communicating long range with smoke signals. So I'm going to accept that in the service of the Lord. The principle, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, is based on the fact that God is spirit. So something can't come from him which is material. He's pure spirit, so everything that comes from him is spiritual in nature. But when we take the things that come from him, the things of this phenomenal world, and shunt them off and misuse them in the name of pursuing our own selfish agendas, then it assumes the qualities of something material. It becomes tainted by our misuse of it. Intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with it. So if we use everything in the purpose for which it was created, to honor God, then there is nothing material at all. There is nothing to be rejected or to turn up our nose at. Everything can be used in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who do good are never overcome by evil, not by negative circumstances. They're never overcome by poverty, financial woes, by disease. Someone says, true, who do you think you are? I know, I'm telling you who I am. I'm a representative of the Lord of millions and millions of universes. One time, Prabhupada visited us in Australia, and I usually did the PR. I arranged the press conferences. And Prabhupada arrived in Sydney, and we had reserved the VIP lounge for a press conference. So one of the reporters said, Swamiji, I noticed that your disciples have hired a limousine outside to take you to the temple. Isn't that a little bit contradictory if you're supposed to be a spiritual renunciate? And Prabhupada, instead of apologizing and backing down and being offensive, he said, in this little tiny dot in the universe, which is called Earth, there are maybe 150 nations, and every single head of every nation, including his vice head and his secretary, they all ride around in these tin limousines. He said, I am representing he who created billions and billions and billions of universes. I shouldn't be met at the airport in a tin limousine. It should be a diamond limousine. He wasn't about to apologize for representing the unlimited Lord. He said it in humility. Just like a viceroy goes out, he's not the king, but he's treated as the king because he represents the king. And if he accepts praise, if he accepts goods, he does it not for himself, but only on behalf of the king. After the Pandavas were cheated of their kingdom by the evil-minded Duryodhana, they were exiled from the big and antique capital city, Hastinapur, which which was the golden seat of government for many, many generations. And they were forced to go out into the desert and establish their own city called Kandavaprasht. But Krishna wanted to elevate his devotees. And so he called Mayadhanava the architect amongst the demigods. And he ordered Mayadhanava to build the Pandavas. The first edifice in this new city was a parliament house. And Krishna ordered Mayadhanava to build a parliament house which was bigger than the parliament house in Hastinapur, which was bigger than the parliament house of Indra, who's the king of the heavenly planets, which was bigger than the parliament house of Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. All that was done by Krishna on behalf of his pure devotees right here on the earth planet 5,000 years ago. So my question is, in our lives, what would happen if instead of dwelling on these negative, defeated thoughts, like I'll never get out of debt, my business will never expand, no one will ever join the temple, they're not interested in spiritual life. What would happen if we zipped that up and started repeating? Throughout the day, Krishna takes pleasure in prospering his devotees. Krishna takes care of me. Explosive blessings are coming my way. You may not or may be familiar with the story of Sudama in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a childhood friend of Krishna. And after they finished their education, they went their separate ways. And Sudama came upon very, very hard times. He couldn't feed himself. His ribs were showing. So he went to see Krishna. And all he had to offer Krishna was a little bit of rice which had been soaked in water. And when it came time, Krishna said to Sudama, "Have you brought me anything to eat?" Because that was the custom. And Sudama was so embarrassed because Krishna was a lord of Dwarka. He was eating gourmet foods, everything cooked in ghee. And Sudama actually said, "No, I didn't bring him anything, Lord." And he said, "Well, what's that little pouch wrapped in your dhoti? It looks like some foodstuffs." And Sudama, so there was a little wrestling match, a little tug of war. And Krishna managed to get out one grain of rice from that pouch, soaked in water. And he put it on his tongue and he swallowed it. Because it was coming from his faithful, pure devotee who had endured so many trials and tribulations on his behalf, Krishna tasted that like nectar. And he began to reach for another, a second grain of rice. And Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, stopped his hand and said, "Lord, you're enjoying that one grain of rice from Sudama is enough to give him more wealth than Indra, the king of the heavenly planet. I don't know what a second grain would do, but please don't eat the second grain." And sure enough, when Sudama got back to his village, he turned a corner, went into his street, and where his mud hut with holes in the roof had been, there was a huge palace, staffed with beautifully dressed, handsome servants and maidservants. And there was a lady up on the second floor balcony. He didn't recognize her, but she was waving at him as if she knew him. She had gold and jewels and all kinds of silks on. And as he got a little closer, he began to recognize her as his wife. So in one fell swoop, Krishna explosively propelled Sudama forward. Let's not go around expecting the same thing year after year after year. Where you are is not where you're supposed to stay. Krishna has new levels. He's asking us to get a bigger vision. Let's see him as unlimited, immeasurable, surpassing. Let's recognize that he's got ways of promoting us that we've never even dreamed of. A lot of people, instead of making room for something bigger, instead of believing for increase, they go around with a limited vision. Plato talks about people who for generations had sat looking at the back of a cave. There's a fire behind them, and they were looking and totally absorbed in the shadow reflections of the back of the cave. And they'd done it for generation after generation after generation after generation. For them, that was reality. That was the whole of the world, those shadows. If someone were to come to them and say, "Hey, why don't you guys turn around? Check out the mouth of the cave, exit the cave, come into the full sunlight, the full freedom, the full world that awaits you, the world of light, the world of effulgence." They would have said, no, this is what our fathers have done, this is what their grandfathers have done. We're limited by our vision. We're limited by those that went before us. Why settle for that which has gone before you? We're meant to do something new. We're meant to make a difference in our generation. And while we're talking about discarding old things, I think it's about time in our Western culture we got rid of this concept of God as an old guy. Michelangelo painted him as having white hair and wrinkles and a beard on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And That may explain why Westerners don't have nearly the fervor, nearly the enthusiasm about going to the spiritual world that every single Indian has who is pious. Indian people, if they had their brothers, they would have gone to the spiritual world yesterday. And the temple's strong when people are shouting, Govinda Krishna, Hari Madhusudan. We don't find that in the West. And I wonder if part of the reason is that we are hampered by this vision of God as an old God. I mean, honestly, just between you and me, this doesn't have to leave the room. How enthusiastic would you be about going and spending eternity with some old God? Who can get excited about that? Old means you don't get old unless you're going to die. That's what happens before death. It's a precursor of death. What a pale, what a shadow must be hanging over this world. You know, God's going to die. What's going to happen to us? In the meantime, keep your voices down. God's taking his afternoon nap. No ice cream, no deep fried pepperos or samosas because God's watching his blood pressure. I think it's time as a culture we got rid of that and realized that if God's all-powerful, there isn't anything above him that can make him grow. I'd rather not grow, but I'm forced to grow because I'm in a material body and there's the action of time on this body. But God is in control. That means time and matter don't control him. They are his energies. They do what he tells them to do. They have no power to age him. And although he is the oldest person, he existed before the sun, the moon, the stars, before Shiva, before Brahma, he is nevertheless always fresh, like a blooming youth of 16 or 18 years old. Now, I can get behind that. I could get enthusiastic about going and living eternally with that Navayovanamcha, that ever-fresh, youthful Lord. And that Lord has some big plans for me. He's not old and tired. He's full of plans. He's got blessings, favors with my name on them since the beginning of creation. I need to think in terms of getting a bigger vision, a bigger container. Who says the future has to be the same as the past? Who says you can't overcome your limitations of birth? Who says you have to be defined by your past mistakes? Who says you'll never get out of debt? Who says you'll never meet the right person? Who says you'll never start that business? Who says that temple you're managing will never take off? Who says Krishna consciousness can only go so far in the West? It only takes one touch of God's favor. So get in agreement with him. To Krishna, 1,000 years is one day, and one day can be 1,000 years. I remember a few years ago, we had all our savings in Chase Bank, and the economy was booming. People were just making money hand over fist. And this fellow kept visiting me, calling me. He was an investment manager from Chase Bank. And he was saying, True, you could be getting so much more out of your money. Your money could be working so much better for you. You're only getting so much with CDs. Invested in mutual funds or stock market, you could be doing so much better. And I said, forget what his name is. And I'm not going to go to the stock market. I don't trust the stock market. But I will consider, if you're so persistent and so insistent, I will consider, what when the stock market goes down, is there anything else that goes up? He said, bonds. He says, traditionally, historically, when the stock market goes down, bonds go up. I said, okay, invest for us in the most conservative bonds that are out there. So he did that, and for a few months, it worked pretty good. We were actually making a couple $1,000s in dividends a month. But then the whole economy started to tank, and month after month, I'd look at the statement, more losses, more losses. Of course, we were in much better shape than people that had invested in the stock market or the more dangerous bonds. But after about 9 months, 10 months, all of our savings, which we'd accumulated for a number of years, were gone. We'd lost about $50,000. That was in November. Now in March, we had our annual Festival of Colors, and that year, the Festival of Colors attendance exploded. It went from 3,000 to 10,000. And in one afternoon, not only did we recoup our $50,000, but we got another $50,000 in one afternoon. So for God, 1,000 days can be 1 year, or one day, 1,000 years can be one day, or one day can be 1,000 years. And it's interesting too, because when we wanted to buy this property, 20 financial institutions all over the western states refused to loan us money. But Chase, the only one, they graciously agreed to give us the loan so that we could acquire this property. And at a very, very good interest rate, by the way. By now you might be thinking, these things never happen to me, I never get any good breaks. Right, they never happen to you. You never get any good breaks. Why? Because you've got small thinking. You've We've got small containers. If you get a greater vision, then these things will start to show up in your life. You should not only believe that you can pay off your house, but you can pay it off early. And after paying off the house, help us pay the rest of the mortgage on this place. And after paying off your house and paying off the rest of the mortgage on this place, maybe you can build an orphanage. Get a big vision. If you honor God, there's no limits to what He can do. The God we serve is not a barely just get by God. He's not a hold on until we get to the sweet by and by God. He's a more than enough, a God of overflow and abundance. He's stored up blessings for those who honor Him, houses, contracts, good grades which already have your name on them. We're not supposed to be, as God-centered people, second class. We're not supposed to take leftovers. We're children of the Most High. If we're faithful with what we have and show to Him that we can be trusted to further His kingdom, we're going to see unusual increase. Just one last story. This temple itself was built in 1957 by the Seventh-day Adventists. And I had been looking for a church for sale in the Salt Lake area for some time. But every time we visited, myself and Steve, our real estate agent, I got a very reticent feeling. You know, I was hesitant to just come right out and say we're the Hare Krishnas because I was afraid that these people would refuse to sell us their properties. I had that experience actually in 1976. There was a Catholic church for sale, and I went as a representative of the Krishnas, and I offered the listing price, and they actually refused to sell it to us at their asking price. So being a little gun shy, whenever they'd ask who you are, we would always just kind of hem and haw and avoid the issue. But when we drove into this parking lot, I saw this building, I knew that Krishna had our name on it. I absolutely knew it. And we went right up to the principal, Kendall here, and his secretary, I forget what her name was. We said, we're Hare Krishnas and we're looking for a temple. And they said, you're the Hare Krishnas. We admire you so much. Our kids and the parents, they go to your festivals. Did you know the world's the mostly vegetarian too? Oh, I hope you get this temple. I hope you get it. I think God sent you for this place. It just came explosively, suddenly, after a year of being frustrated and looking fruitlessly for a place, it just fell into our lap. And the financing went through with Chase and everything happened. But you need to get ready. There are buildings with your name on them. There are contracts. There are promotions. Now do your part and make room in your thinking. By Bobby and I, my wife, we can look back on our lives and time again see the blessings that Krishna had stored up for us. All we had to do was believe for big things. We didn't let all the negative voices try to talk us out of it. We didn't get discouraged when we didn't see anything happening on our timetable. We just kept making room for it in our thinking. We've seen in our lives Krishna's blessings chase us down. When you have a big vision, when you honor Krishna in your life, you won't be able to outrun the good things that Krishna sends your way. In the natural, you may feel the least likely, the least qualified person. But with the grace of Krishna in your life, He can cause you to stand out. He can cause you to outshine other people. He can cause people to want to do good to you. You and Krishna are a majority. Even as we're speaking, increase is looking for you. Favor is looking for you. Good breaks are looking for you. You don't have to foam at the mouth and break your back in order to get blessings. They're already chasing you down. As the poet John Burroughs said, the waters know their own and draw the brook that springs in yonder height. So flows the good with equal law under the soul of pure delight. The stars come nightly to the sky, the tidal wave into the sea. No time nor space, no deep nor high can keep my own away from me. My question, are you making room for increase? Are you gathering up enough empty containers to receive it? Are you taking the limits off Krishna? When you look at it in the natural, your own thoughts, what to speak of other people, may tell you it's impossible, no way. But that's what faith is about. You've got to believe it before you see it. You can't put the condition on God, will you favor me, you bless me, you prosper me, and then I'll believe you. That's not how you approach God. You have to believe it before you see it. You have to know that Almighty God put something on you which causes you to stand out, which causes you to be in the right place at the right time. We're created from His divine essence. He is Satchidananda. The composition of His form is made of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. He's made of splendor. He's made of light, and we're of that same essence. He is auspiciousity personified, and we are like sparks from that fire. Not that we will be like that in the future. We've been created that way. It's been our nature since the beginning of time. We're made of light. So let's not cover the light. Let's not live our life as repressed fires. Let's arise and shine with the favor, the blessings of our Maker. Let's throw off darkness, depression, negativity, defeatism, the less than, the second class, the leftover mentality as alien to our true nature. Our attitude should be, no telling what's in my future. I am weighted down, not with problems, not with burdens. I am heavy, dripping with the favor of Krishna. When you feel yourself heavy with the favor of Krishna, then you'll be heavy with expectation about your future. It'll be easy to believe for great things. I'm asking you to stretch your faith. Not just making room for Krishna to get you through this year, to help you survive, not just to give you bread and basics, but believing in Krishna to catapult you to a whole new level. All through the day, say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord, I know you take pleasure in prospering your devotees. You promoted the Pandavas. You thrust Sudama to a whole new level through a chip of rice. You made up 9 months of financial losses for us in one day. You had a beautiful school building set aside for us in Salt Lake City. All that, and you still have greater things in mind for us in the future. Lord, I'm taking the limits off of you today. I'm making room for you to do bigger and bigger things. I shall arise and shine, reflect the splendor, the power, the glory of my Maker. If we have this attitude, let him do his work in this world through us. We'll live happily, purposefully, fulfilled in this life, and in the next life, go back home, back to Godhead, back to that ever-youthful, lotus-eyed Lord, who is the above and beyond surpassing friend and well-wisher of his devotees.